At 12:22 a.m. on November 25, 1960, John F. Kennedy Jr., who weighed 6 pounds and 3 ounces, was born in a Washington, D.C. hospital to the future President and First Lady of the United States. He became the first baby ever born to a president-elect. A physician reported to the press that the delivery had been a normal cesarean and that both mother and baby were now resting safely. The supervising nurse also told Secret Service agent Clint Hill, stationed just outside the operating room, that the delivery was successful and that both mother and child were doing fine, but that the newborn had been placed in an incubator as a precautionary measure. However, according to Ira Seiler, a second-year pediatric resident who assisted in the delivery, the situation was actually more complicated. In a 2013 oral history, Seiler claimed that when John emerged, the anesthesiologist held him by his ankles and slapped his buttocks. After several minutes, John's face turned blue. Seiler realized that John was having trouble breathing and told the other physicians that he needed to be intubated. "He handed the baby to me, and I passed a tube into the trachea of the baby," he reflected. "I then handed the infant back to him to breathe into the baby." But the anesthesiologist appeared nervous, perhaps because he was holding the child of the future president, and accidentally knocked out the tube. Seiler grabbed John, reinserted the tube, and spent the next 6 minutes breathing air into his lungs. The doctor literally breathed life into the newborn. A nurse who was in the room said that John would have died had Seiler not intervened. A few minutes later, John was transferred to the intensive care nursery. He was diagnosed with hyaline membrane disease, now called respiratory distress syndrome, which is common in premature babies. The condition results from a deficiency of a substance called surfactant, which helps keep the air sacs in the lungs open. Without it, an infant's lungs collapse with each breath, making it harder to get enough oxygen. In some cases, the baby becomes so exhausted, it gives up and stops breathing. As the drama in the delivery room unfolded, the Secret Service tried reaching President-elect John F. Kennedy, who had left Washington earlier that evening and was flying to Palm Beach, Florida. A few minutes before landing, the pilot called him into the cockpit and informed him that his wife had been rushed to the hospital. This news was the only information available at the time. As soon as his plane landed, JFK pushed through a crowd of several hundred fans to an office where he phoned the floor nurse of the maternity ward and learned that Mrs. Kennedy was already in surgery. He told the Secret Service that he needed to return to Washington immediately. Instead of taking his plane, he decided to jump on the much faster press plane that was already refueling. Within 15 minutes, the president-elect was back in the air on his way to Washington. He had no idea that John had already been born before he took off. According to published reports, JFK moved to the front section of the plane, where the pilot handed him radio earphones relaying the unexpected message, "It's a boy, both doing nicely." Campaign Press Secretary Pierre Salinger then announced to the press on board, "We have just been advised that Mrs. Kennedy has given birth to a boy and that both mother and baby are doing well." But Mrs. Kennedy recounted a different story. More than a decade later, when her mother-in-law Rose Kennedy was writing her memoir, she asked Jackie for her recollections of that evening. Jackie told her that JFK was told on the plane that his son had been born prematurely and that his health was in doubt. A few weeks earlier, on November 10, 1960, President-elect John F. Kennedy and his wife Jacqueline, commonly referred to as Jackie, stood before reporters at the Hyannis Armory to greet the world's media following his razor-thin victory over the current Vice President Richard Nixon. JFK was not only the first Catholic elected to the nation's highest office, he was also the nation's first celebrity president, who, along with the First Lady, looked better fitted for Hollywood than for Washington. Both were extraordinarily photogenic. Jack, 43, with his thick chestnut hair, penetrating blue eyes, and high wattage smile, and Jackie, only 31 years old and 8 months pregnant with their second child, her square face framed by stylish brown hair that gave her the look of a beautiful lion, observed the New York Times. Jackie stood proudly on stage beside her husband as he read from the congratulatory telegrams that he received from Vice President Nixon and from President Dwight Eisenhower. "My wife and I prepare for a new administration and a new baby," he concluded.